Psalm 23.
Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Crofts.
Thanks, John. Well, good morning, everyone. Not every morning that we get to spend a lot of time dwelling on Psalm 23, but what a beautiful psalm it is, isn't it? It is my pleasure to open God's word this morning. Before I do, let me just tell you, this book, the Lord of Psalm 23, I have found incredibly, incredibly encouraging and helpful in preparing the sermon this morning. It's from Crossway by David Gibson. Highly recommend, if you haven't read it yet, grab a copy and give it a read. It is such an encouraging read. And as you can see, quite small as well, you know, easy to get through. Keep your Bibles open. Let me pray for us as we come to Psalm 23. Our loving Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, who you sent so that we might be made right with you. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit, by whom you speak to us through your word. Lord, we thank you that we can know you personally. Lord, we thank you for the comfort that we find in your word. We pray that this morning you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that you would help us to exhort one another to living for you. We pray all of this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, this is, I imagine, a familiar psalm to many of us. It is a wonderful word of comfort in the most difficult times. Spurgeon called it the pearl of the Psalms. It's hard to read without a sense of serenity, a sense of comfort from the Lord's presence, from the Lord's kindness in David's life. The Lord is my shepherd. You might have heard it at a funeral recently. This is often where we hear it these days. It's often read at funerals because it is such a great source of comfort for many people. And I realized in preparing this psalm that I had a little dilemma, and maybe you share in this with me, but I found that this psalm had become for me a psalm that I actually associated with the dead. That is to say that when we read about the green pastures, the quiet waters, the right paths, I imagine them as lying beyond the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest valley of verse 4. When David talks about having a feast prepared for him in the presence of his enemies, well, that's a pretty heavenly image, isn't it? Being anointed with oil, having the goodness and mercy of God follow him, I associated that with eternity, talking about after death, after judgment day. That these blessings and joyful places that the Lord leads his sheep all lie beyond the grave. And if that's the case, then you get the sense that Psalm 23 is actually a psalm for the dead, not a psalm for the living, don't you? It becomes a word of comfort for us because of the passing of a loved one. We imagine that those who have died, they can now say that they lack nothing, that they are now enjoying the serenity of the green pastures, the quiet waters, the refreshment of the soul, the heavenly banquet. But actually, this psalm was written by David for the living, for those of us as we live in this world with the Lord as our shepherd. It is to provide comfort for the living in this lifetime. The Lord is my shepherd, not the Lord will be my shepherd. In the present, not just the future. Now, there absolutely is a word of comfort here for us about what is to come. But that comes right at the end, doesn't it? When David finally starts to talk not just about the present, but about the future, what's to come, what does he say in verse 6? Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a great promise here of the future that is to come. We know that nothing in this world lasts forever, but those who follow the Lord will dwell in his house forever. But most of what David is speaking about in this psalm, well, it's in the present, isn't it? The Lord is his shepherd. And so that means that the rest that David finds in the green pastures, well, that's in this lifetime. It means that the peace and the tranquility of walking beside quiet waters, having his soul refreshed, well, they are in this lifetime. And importantly, the darkest valleys that he traverses are also in this lifetime. The evil that surrounds David, tempting him to fear, that is in this lifetime. Now, this psalm is meant for us, here and now, as we, like David, wait for verse 6 to come. And so here's my dilemma. If that's true, then what does it mean that he lacks nothing in this lifetime? Because I think that our existence in this world is actually kind of characterized by lacking things, isn't it? But hold on to that question and that thought for a minute. In order to understand the answer to that, we actually need to look at the rest of the first line of this psalm. And I actually think that this first line encompasses the rest of the psalm, as we'll see. It's an incredible first line, isn't it? Verse 1, the Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing. There is so much contained within that one psalm. It encompasses the whole of Psalm 23. So we're actually going to look at the rest of the psalm through this one verse. This awesome personal truth that the Lord is our shepherd. Let's break it down. It starts with the Lord, the personal name of the Lord. The one that he gave to Moses to tell him who the God of the world is, but who the Lord of Israel is more specifically. The Lord who saved and guided Israel through the wilderness and brought them to the land that he had promised to their forefather Abraham. That this is the same Lord who guides David as he's writing this psalm and guides him in his life. In fact, the Lord is actually the one that the whole psalm is about. Did you notice how in the presence of good things, David sees the Lord at work? In the green pastures, the Lord makes him lie down. Beside the still waters, the Lord is the one leading him. The Lord is the one who refreshes his soul. The Lord is the one who lays the table. Now, an interesting side note on the refreshing of his soul, that word, it literally says restores or redirects. And I think that sense of redirection can actually be a bit more helpful for us when we combine it with the next phrase where David is speaking about the Lord's guidance. I think that we get a beautiful picture here of the shepherd who gently but firmly keeps his sheep on the right path. The Lord guides his sheep along the right paths. Now, if you want to know a little bit more about how it is that the Lord guides his sheep, I'm going to leave a little teaser here for our next series, which is starting next week. Come back for the Holy Spirit. Because what David is concerned with here is not as much how it is that God leads, but why? Why does the Lord guide his sheep, and why does he guide them where he does? What does he say in verse 3? It's for his name's sake. See, when people see how the Lord's people live our lives, it has an effect on the Lord's name, on his reputation. When people see the choices that we make, the paths that we walk down, sometimes I think we kid ourselves into thinking that it doesn't really matter, especially in the smaller things in our lives. And no one really cares how I live, especially if I'm not hurting anyone or doing anything massively wrong. But the fact of the matter is that the behavior of the sheep reflects on the shepherd. And so when there are sheep who don't follow the right paths, it reflects badly on the shepherd. The Lord directs and redirects his sheep for his name's sake. Even in the presence of the depths of evil, this psalm is still about the Lord. It is the Lord who comforts David by his presence and his rod and his staff. And even in the presence of enemies, it is the Lord who lays the table. It is the Lord who anoints David with oil. That phrase here means that there's fat pouring down David's head. His cup overflows. There is lavish feasting going on here in the presence of David's real and present enemies. And why doesn't David need to fight them or defend himself or be on his guard? Why can't he just enjoy and eat? Well, it's because the Lord has prepared the victory feast for him. The only time when you eat and celebrate in the presence of your enemies is when you and they both know that they have been utterly defeated. And it's the Lord who has done it. This whole psalm is about the Lord. The comfort and the peace that get expressed from this psalm, they all stem from the Lord and his character. It's really important that we slow down and that we actually appreciate that, because we do ourselves an immense disservice when we take what is meant to point us towards the Lord and look at how it impacts us first. It actually shows the essence of sin, doesn't it? That we don't want to see God in the thing that points towards God. We want to know how it impacts us. And Psalm 23 is meant to make us marvel at the Lord first. This psalm is so centered on the Lord. So let's center ourselves on him as well, because Psalm 23 gives us a glorious view of who our Lord is. And who is this Lord to David? That's the second part of this line. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not just Israel's shepherd or even a distant shepherd who rules from afar. He's not like the cattle herders in WA who fly around in gyrocopters just looking at numbers. No, he's my shepherd. That this shepherd is close and personal with his sheep. He calls them by name. He loves his sheep individually. You might remember that David himself was a shepherd before he was a king. And so he understands the commitment and the intimacy that an ancient Near Eastern shepherd shared with his flock of sheep. Shepherds knew their sheep individually. They were always near to them. And the Lord is like a shepherd so near to his sheep. In fact, did you notice there's a shift partway through the psalm where David changes from talking about the Lord in third person, he out there. I had to explain second and third person to some of my youth leaders last week. Third person, the other guy, he is out there. He shifts to the second person. You are with me. That this is a shift that we almost make subconsciously when we have people near to us or far from us. If I were to talk about Baz, who's sitting all the way over there at the moment, I'm going to talk about him over there. He is up there. But if I invited him up, don't worry, I'm not inviting you up here, Baz. But if I invited him up here and started to interview him, it'd be very odd if I started saying, now Baz, what does he think about this? No, of course. If he's next to me, I'm going to say you. I'm going to address him directly. The Lord is near to his sheep. The Lord is near to David. David is moving from big truth statements that the Lord is with him and provides for him to a moment when he feels the need to draw nearer to his Lord, to his shepherd, to address him directly. In the midst of the evil of the darkest valley, it literally says, the deepest darkness. You might remember it being called the Valley of Death. I think that's a vivid image, but potentially a bit distracting for us. The deepest darkness. As David passes through that, he draws closer to his Lord. And he can say, I will fear no evil, David knows that he can address the Lord directly in those moments because the Lord is so near to him. Like a small child who grabs onto mum and dad's leg when they get a little bit scared, David knows that the Lord is right there next to him. And even in the presence of David's enemies, the Lord is still there. But when we understand that the Lord is with us in the darkest of valleys, the instinct will always be to draw closer to him. Because we know that he has guided us to this valley with a purpose. We know that he will guide us through it. Even when David walks into the darkest of times, he knows that it is the Lord walking beside him with his rod and his staff. Look at verse 4 again. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Like I said, the darkest valley, it literally says the deepest darkness. The image is vague, but it's also clear at the same time, isn't it? Especially given when David says he will not fear straight after that. The deepest darkness or the darkest valley is a metaphor for the darkness of evil in this world. Psalm 23 springs from the context of Psalm 22, which we looked at last week. Sentiment is very different in the two, isn't it? And I think that the two are actually meant to be read together, not because they were written back to back or anything like that, but because they show the vast range of the human experience when it comes to the Lord's sovereign guidance in our lives. Where Psalm 22 holds the Lord at a distance and asks him, "My Lord, my Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 23, it begins with the resolute statement, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Where Psalm 22 looks at all of the enemies around, and you can hear that David feels isolation and feels defeat, Psalm 23 looks at those same enemies all around him, but sees the Lord honoring him with a celebration feast. Where Psalm 22 cries out to the Lord to rescue David from the suffering and torment that he's experiencing, Psalm 23, while it looks at that deepest, darkest valley of the evil of this world that surrounds David, and he turns it into praise of the Lord, that none of that valley can cause him to fear because his God is right next to him. His Lord is with him. As we come to look at Psalm 23, it's important to remember it's written in the same world as Psalm 22. But it also comes after Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, David is wrestling with the distress and the grief of not feeling the Lord's nearby comfort in the midst of his torments. And we all feel that distance from the Lord at times, especially when we are at the start of suffering and pain. But the invitation that we have in Psalm 23 today is to look at our Lord and know that he is there beside us, to feel his closeness to us. Even though David walks through the darkest of evil in this world, even though he recalls all of the things that happened in Psalm 22, he has no reason to fear that because he knows the Lord is his shepherd. He knows the Lord is near, that his rod and his staff are not far from us. It's worth noting here, David uses different words for the rod and the staff. That's because they were actually different things for a shepherd. It's not just repetition for poetry's sake. The rod was the shepherd's weapon of choice, the way that he would defend the sheep, defend his flock. And the staff was the tool that a shepherd used to guide and correct the sheep, to keep them on the right path. So with the rod, he protects the flock from outside. And with the staff, he disciplines and directs his sheep on the inside, as it were. The shepherd is there to protect the flock from the outside danger with the rod, but also to guide the flock with the staff. No matter what the situation looks like or feels like to us, the Lord is near to his sheep. I got married a little bit over a year ago, and my wife, her family comes from two different tribes. One of the tribes that she comes from is called the Ngoni tribe. They are known for their warriors. They are a tribe that is known for the dancing warriors. So they're great dancers, but they are also the fierce warriors who managed to knock over three kingdoms in a row. And so at one of the traditional wedding ceremonies that we had, one of the chiefs of that tribe was there. I felt very honored. He'd come just to welcome me into the tribe. And so they had a traditional headdress for me. They had a traditional shield. And he gave a wonderful backstory of the Ngoni people and the warriors, how fierce they are, how they are always there for one another. And so he said to me, "You are joining our family today. And so I want you to know that these fierce warriors, if you are ever in need, they will be there for you. I also want you to know that we have ears everywhere. And if we hear anything that we don't like, the Ngoni warriors will be there for you." They are two very different messages, aren't they? But they're the same. When I tell you the Lord is near, it's a great comfort to his sheep who follow his direction, to those who obey his commands, to those who listen to his voice. His staff is beside you. But it is an even greater warning to the sheep who do not follow his direction, who do not obey his commands, to those who do not listen to his voice. The Lord is near. He is watching and his staff is at hand. I want to ask, are you following the right paths? It's worth, I would say every week, but at least once in a while, thinking about how has your last week gone? How has your last month gone? Your last year? Are you loving God with all your heart? All your soul? Or your mind, or your strength? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you making disciples of all nations? Who are you teaching to obey every command that the Lord has given you? The Lord is your shepherd. He is near. We must remember that he is guiding us just as much when things seem to be going right and all is peaceful, as he is guiding us when we feel that we are in the darkest of valleys. But when the pastures are green and lush, the peaceful waters wind off into the distance, we are there to enjoy at the Lord's pleasure. And we must be ready to move on when he commands. We must listen to the voice of the shepherd. As Baz showed us last week, Jesus took on the words of Psalm 22 for himself as he hung up there on the cross, rejected and despised by the world, forsaken by his God. He did that so that he could bridge the gap that we created between us and the Lord. And Jesus actually framed his own sacrificial death for us in light of him being our great shepherd, like Psalm 23. In John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus is the good shepherd. The shepherd who knows his sheep and loves his sheep. The shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Isn't that incredible that a shepherd would give up his life for sheep? That a shepherd would love his sheep so much that he would do the thing that doesn't make sense for any other reason except that he loves them and lay down his life to save them. That's what Jesus, our good shepherd, did for us. He died on the cross so that his sheep would be saved from death. Just before he says that he is the good shepherd, Jesus uses another metaphor for himself in John 10, where he says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Anyone who trusts in Jesus and Jesus alone will have life to the full. Or as David puts it in our psalm, they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you're not sure if you're trusting in Jesus, then please come and grab Baz or speak to someone who's sitting next to you. We would love to share with you the grace and mercy that Jesus shows to us all. So we come back to our question from earlier. Since the Lord is our shepherd, does it mean that we lack nothing? What does it mean? It's incredible to me how easy it is for us, and I include myself in this, to become discontent. But we know exactly what it is that we lack, don't we? We lack the thing, or we lack the family members, the finances, the relationship, the security. Like I said before, I think our existence in this world is marked by lacking. But friends, this is where we truly put our hearts to the test. What need could we ever have that is not met by a right understanding that the Lord Jesus is our shepherd? It's not the green pastures or the quiet waters or the right paths or even the dark valley that determine whether or not we are lacking. David's not saying that he has everything that he could ever want, or that all his needs are met in the way that he thinks they should be. David is saying that because the Lord is near, he has everything that he could possibly need. But what determines what we lack, that we lack nothing, is the Lord. The Lord who is near to us. The Lord who provides for us, the Lord who knows us, the Lord who loves us. He is our shepherd. It is knowing and being known by that Lord that means everything to David, and it's true for us as well. Everything else in this lifetime will pass away. But the Lord is our shepherd, and his goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, through every green pasture and every dark valley, until we dwell in his house forever. He is near. He knows our needs better than we do. You might remember the old hymn, "Take the World and Give Me Jesus." It goes like this. "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. But his love abides forever, through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With the Saviour watching o'er me, I can sing, though billows roll. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face, my Lord I see." We have Jesus the Lord as our shepherd. We can trade everything that the world has to offer and still come out with the better end of the deal. So friends, let these words this morning be a great comfort or a great warning to you as you go out into your weeks. The Lord is your shepherd, and he is very near to you. Our Lord and Shepherd, we praise you that you have chosen to draw near to us, mere humans. Lord, that you chose to make us in your image, that you have chosen to redeem that image, even while we still ran away from you. Lord, we cannot thank you enough for sending your Son, the Good Shepherd, so that we might be brought back to you. So, Lord, we pray that the news that you are our shepherd and are near to us might comfort us each and every day, as we know that your goodness and your mercy follow us all the days of our lives. Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep on striving until we get to live in your house forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.